Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste. Places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say, it's nation time. You don't say that no more. Because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. Tonight we are having a panel discussion. It is hosted by the Time to Leave Movement, and we're going to have our Time to Leave panel members on tonight to discuss various topics having to do with separation, having to do with community building, having to do with current events, having to do with our last show, which was youth. We had a show, the last show, and a replay last week. We wanted to hear what youth had to say about separating and building communities and their future in our separating and in our, their future in our nation. Minister said, we used to say it's nation time. We're taught that separation is the best and only solution. Well, if that's the case, why don't we have a model that we can point to and show people that separation is the best and only solution? If that's the case, how come we don't have that in place now? I like to hear people's opinion on that, and that's an excellent discussion point. When you get ready, you can call in, and you can push the one in your dial, and because this is not just a discussion with the panel, discussion of the Time to Leave Movement, it's also a discussion with you, our listener. We want to hear from you. You can answer my question, or if you have another issue that has to do with separating into our own societies and working towards our own nation, to hear what you have to say. Are you in a ministry? Did you know that the ministries are the structure for the new Nation of Islam? That's what Minister Farrakhan said when he was being interviewed in Closing the Gap He said the ministries will be the new structure for the Nation of Islam. If that's the case, what ministry are you in? Just that 1 year dial, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. Meanwhile, we have two of our panelists on. I see Sister Majida Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Majida. And I also see, yes, ma'am, I also see Dr. Ridgely as well. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Walaikum salam. However, I am traveling on delivering a staple goods pallet to the terminal. So I will be, you know, going in and out. I can talk more in a few minutes once I make this delivery. Okay, but I am listening, and I'll be chiming in soon.
Yes, sir. So, Sister Majida, do you have any statements you'd like to open up the show, or do you want to, any comments on your well-orchestrated interview that we had recently, or anything that's on your mind right now?
Yes, sir. All praises due to Allah. I just want to say, first, I like your call out, so to speak, to our listening audience to participate in this Time to Leave panel discussion. And like you said, we're hosting the discussion, the Time to Leave panel. However, you know, especially our Facebook listeners, our Facebook members, I mean, we have so many. We have so many. What a joy. And we welcome them every week. We welcome them to the Time to Leave Facebook page. And what a joy it would be for them to chime in and help support the call by offering their dialogue to this discussion. So I just wanted to, I guess, emphasize what you had said earlier about inviting them to the call. Call in. Let us know you're on the page. You seem to be enjoying the content that's there and the shows we're putting on. So we really want to reach out to you during this time. We don't have a featured guest this week. That featured guest could be each and every one of you that calls in. So you know, I'm with you. I want to encourage participation from our listening audience and our Facebook members.
And to do that, all you have to do is press the 1. Press the 1, you're down. Go ahead, Sister Majida.
Yes. Let's see. It's been a long day. I was reading in the final call earlier, and it's the issue justice for Brianna, our sister Brianna. And there's an article that by Starla, Charlene, and Tariq Muhammad, and it's titled Looking Beyond Politics for Black Survival. And just in reading that and what's going on, you know, in our world today, there's so many points in here that struck me. There's a CEO, George Frazier. He's the chairman and CEO of FraserNet. And I was just reading some of the things he said, and, you know, one of the things that struck me is that he said, now more than ever is a time for blacks to control their destinies individually and collectively. And, you know, the minister has told us so many times, it's our time. It's our time. So I am just so, I don't want to say hopeful, because, you know, we're at the point now where we need to be doing more than hoping, but you know, I just really believe, I know, it is our time now, and people are moving out. People are moving out, and people are moving on and making plans. They are doing it, and, you know, it's just a really great and dreadful time right now, and I'm just thankful to be in it and working in it. And so that's my opening.
Praise be to Allah. Well, I just want to comment on the show that you hosted that's been playing the last 2 weeks. Then just say that our future really looks bright with the stars, the stars of our youth that you had on the shows. You know, if anyone ever had any doubts to where we're headed, listening to them and seeing their enthusiasm about their course of study and about their nation. Mm-hmm. You know, that that really excites me to hear there's so many young people that, you know, love their Islam and love their involvement in the nation, and they're striving to improve themselves and better themselves so they can offer more. And, you know, and that as a backdrop, I like to see, you know, and hear about, you know, older, you know, members of the nation, adults and older people who are striving to do the same thing. You know, the minister mm-hmm. tells us that, you know, at 75, we're just a baby. So that encourages me to say, okay, what does my nation need? You know, what, mm-hmm. you know, what can I become proficient at where I can offer my nation a skill or the ability to help it get towards becoming independent, whether it's for the nation or nationally or locally. So that's how I'm encouraged. When I heard them, I was like, wow, you know, they're doing new things, they're going on, and that's how we all used to be. We have to think like the youth. And I know you want to comment on that, Sister Majida, but I
and
see someone
and didn't
who's
it make
out
you,
press the one.
Didn't it make you just – I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to – I was just agreeing. Didn't it make you just want to get up and do a little bit more of something, anything? Let me just say about that. I was extremely honored. I love young people. I do. I'm just – you know, and I know, you know, part of my background is – you know, a former teacher in private, there was a private Muslim school that I taught in. And and after that, I taught in an MUI school, junior high and high school, you know, both times, junior high and high school. And I tell you, I love young people. I love it when I see them lit, you know, with excitement to learn and know, and when they struggle with something and then they get it. You know, I'll never forget this one student that I had, Brother Antonio, and we were doing math, and he was struggling. And I remember there was a situation where, you know, normally there was about, I guess I had about 8 students, all boys. And I remember there was a situation that took some of the students out, so I just had like 3 students that day. And so we had a chance to do board work, one-on-one with the math. And he's struggling, you know, with the concept. And then he got it. I will never forget the look on his face when he realized, oh, my God, look, I love young people. You know, when he got it, the look on his face when he realized that he got it was just, you know, it was amazing to me. And I felt my part was just so small in it, because it was Allah giving him the understanding, you know, because I had been, you know, trying to show him the concept and get it across to him, and he wasn't getting it. But then when that light bulb, you know, went on, it was amazing. So when I hear young people, and when I have a chance to hear about what they're doing and see the excitement on their faces about it, you know, that just lights me up because, you know, we're every generation, we pass the baton. We, by the help of Allah, we're in a position to have something and to know something and be skilled in something that's going to not just better ourselves, you know, make us more productive and more useful. You know, it gives us an opportunity to pass something on. And, you know, I ran track a little bit. And so I remember, you know, that anticipation, that person's coming and you're trying to get yourself ready. So when you receive what it is they're going to give you, you get it and you just go. And so that's, you know, I'm excited when I hear about, you know, what young people are doing and just their proficiency. The panel that we had, they were so proficient in their areas. I'm like, can we just get something for them to work out in? You know, that's my goal, you know, so we can help, you know, put them in a position to where we can see that productivity manifest. You know, that's what I would like to see and be a part of. You know what, we got a square of land right here. You know, what do you want to build? Get your dozers, get your excavators, you know, whatever you need. You know, I would love to just see them in action building a world. So I'm just honored. They said they would do it again. You know, we had communication right after the show, and I thanked them, and you know, just let them know I was just so honored. And
yes,
they responded back and told me how they would be more than happy to do it again. So, you know, I'm grateful.
Praise be to Allah. Well, we have a caller. I'm going to open their line. Caller with the last four digits, 7003. What's your name and where are you calling from? Callers with the last four digits, 7003. Caller, can you hear me? Okay, so let me... Looks like this caller may have pressed the one by accident.
Yo.
Dr. Ridley, if you can put your phone on mute. Dr. Ridley is working, and he's on the call. So that's dedication for you. But
that's
yes,
right.
Majita, I agree with 100%. You know, it's like, you know, just to see the light bulb come on, and to see people learn things. I always, you know, whenever I'm with children, I don't have a problem telling them that these children are sharper than me and quicker than me. You know, it takes me a while to get concepts. And so just to be around people that quick and that sharp is challenging to me. And so it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. So I share your enthusiasm. And I look forward to, you know, as we build communities, to make more resources available for youth. Resources, you know, where I say like you know, camps and summer schools, you know, those type of things where we can have, in addition to quality training in MUIs, you know, have summer, like a summer session in Muhammad Farms, or where children can come all over our nation and get agricultural training as well as skills in other disciplines, science, you know, and that way, you know, just like other religious organizations, like the Mormons, they actually send their youth on missions. They send their youth out to, you know, to different countries and stuff in different states. And you have to go, you know, do community service. And that broadens their horizons. And so for us, if we had some, you know, summer camps and boarding schools all over the nation, we can expose our children to more and, you know, let them get exposed to other things so they can really find out what their talents are. You know, so many of our youth, you know, in youth in general, we grow up and we, you know, become adults and we don't know what we can do well because we haven't got exposed to it. You know, we do things that people tell us we should do. We do things what the society tells us what to do, but we don't have the opportunity to find out what Allah wants us to do.
Mm-hmm. I think, yes, sir. I think some of the advantages, and you know, we know there are many, you know, I think some of the advantages to, or, you know, let me just say one advantage to the children that are, that are here now, you know, like the youth that we spoke to, young adults that we had on the panel, is that they have the and have had the opportunity early on to be groomed in nation building skills. I mean, I don't know if you can recall. I think all of them, and you know, it just happened that I reached out to, you know, those that I did, and a few more that, you know, weren't able to be on the call, that they were all engineers. They were all engineers. So, you know, it's different when you and I were growing up because, you know, we weren't trying to build a nation for ourselves. We were getting skills, you know, to keep somebody else's thing going and mm-hmm. trying to, you know, get to the top of somebody else's world. You know, that doesn't mean that we weren't learning valuable skills, but, you know, the focus was not the same when you and I were growing up. You know, these children are being raised to build a nation. So, you know, their focus from, like, what did brother say, You know, he lived in the house. Both of them lived in the house with parents that were both engineers. So I mean, it's a natural inclination to follow in the footsteps of your parents. And so when you see both of them striving like that, and you know, you have a loving home, and they're gearing you in the same direction, you know, it's different. It's a different focus. We have a lot of our children out here now that don't have that kind of rearing, and so they're just kind of like out here willy nilly, and you know, and just don't have that focus of building something of their own. So.
And once again, I'm going to say that if you're enjoying. Yes, sir, Dr. Ridgely.
Changing the subject a little bit, if I might.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I posted an article that somebody tagged me on, posted it, and I hadn't read it yet, but I read it a few minutes ago. And it's very enlightening. Now, here's the title. Catchy title, ABC News. Black Americans are leaving their homes to start their own all-black communities. This is September 30th. Okay? Now, interestingly, it's talking about the same 97 acres that we had the sisters on,
mm-hmm.
when I put them.
Yes, sir.
It's the
same, Freedom Initiative.
Right. So this article is about them, but look at that. Black Americans are leaving their homes to start their own all-black communities. Now, you notice that it didn't say Black Americans are leaving the cities.
Mm.
Now. The people, when we talked to them, they didn't say that they were leaving their homes.
Right.
They didn't.
They said they was buying this land. They're going to build on this, and in the future they want to live there
mm-hmm.
once they've got some things going. But right now they just they bought it and they're going to start building, but they didn't say they were leaving their homes.
Right.
Now, but it gives a different slant on it by saying they're leaving their homes instead of leaving
right.
the city. They don't want to say leaving the city,
right?
Because they don't want to admit that there is an avalanche. Okay,
mm-hmm.
There is a movement of
mm-hmm.
blacks leaving, not blacks, whites, everybody leaving the city. So they don't want to add momentum to that. So they say leaving their
mm-hmm.
homes.
Right, their okay. homes. Paints a whole nother picture.
Paints a whole nother picture than leaving the cities.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they talk about white folks, though, they don't have a problem saying white people or suburban or urban families are leaving the city.
Right. Because that's what's going on. But they don't want
right.
to say that about blacks, because then it would feed into a movement of blacks leaving the cities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That want blacks
mm-hmm.
to leave the cities.
And especially for the reasons, if I may add, Dr. Ridgely, especially for the reasons that they indicated they were doing it. They said they wanted to get out of the cities so they can develop someplace
right.
safe for them to live with all this police violence and everything else going on.
Right.
You know, they don't...
Right.
I mean... It's a picture painting like, oh, you know, it's kind of okay. We're going to go do this. Right, like you said, not no real big deal.
Now here's something very strategic that I'm sure the PR person told them to say. Let me see if I can find it. Because this is a very... Okay, I'm trying to sound exactly what they said. Because they said this is not separation, and this is not, okay, we're not preaching separation, and we're not preaching segregation. No, we just want to be safe. That's it.
Is that too much to ask for just to be safe and happy and healing? I mean, healthy? That's what this is about. Now, why did they have to say this is we are not preaching separation?
Brings you back to Hillary Clinton trying to make Barack Obama denounce the minister.
Right. Right. So they
you gotta say it like this.
We're not separatists. You know, we're just trying to be safe, which is, you know, a good strategy. But then now you must understand why we have a problem in the Time to Leave movement, because it's a movement. And black folks who are scared don't want to be a part of a movement.
Straight
they don't want to be
separation.
Labeled.
Straight up
separation.
Straight up.
They don't. They do not want to be labeled like that. It's just like when the minister, when the Million Man March, and he asked people to register, send $10 and to register. And by April of 1995, I was at the table when the minister was saying that there was so few people who have signed up. I had to chime in and say, well, you know, these brothers are not going to sign a piece of paper saying they're going to Washington, D.C. in front of the Capitol to protest.
We're having trouble hearing you, Dr. Bisley.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me now? Okay.
Yes, sir.
So they're not going to sign up ahead of time to let white folks know they're coming to Washington to with Farrakhan to protest the government. You know, they'll come at the last minute, but they're not going to sign no piece of paper that can track them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same way with the Time to Leave movement. People are not going to actively be a part of it so that the white man and other people will know what they're up to. They're going to do it on a quiet tip, because they don't want the recognition, they don't want the enemy, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But we have got to do what we do and understand that we may not seem like anybody is listening, but there are people who are listening, and there are people who are doing the reverse underground railroad on a quiet tip.
Right.
Okay? Part of a separatist movement. People don't want to be associated with that because that carries weight, baggage. So that's why, you know, people will listen to the minister, and they will try to emulate what the minister is doing, but then they will deny the minister at the same time, because they don't want the heat, the baggage that comes along with the Nation of Islam, because they know that the enemy don't like us, and they are afraid of the enemy.
Yes,
sir. So those of us who have the courage to say what we feel and do what we say must understand that many of us don't have that type of courage.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I know the minister, so he told us in the criterion that, you know, he said we have to stand on what we know and what we believe. We have to, you know, say it. Don't be afraid to say it wherever we are, and I'm paraphrasing for sure. But, you know, we have to stand on it.
Well, you see, and he told me when I asked him about doing this, start off as a conference call, he said, well, you can go ahead on, brother, and have your little call, but Allah is going to make us separate. So
yes, sir.
You can see with COVID-19 and with these killings of black people and the killers walking free, that's forcing this group who bought the 96.7 acres, it was, you know, the killings, George Floyd and others, the brother in Atlanta. These were the things that pushed them over the edge. So they got together and bought them some land. So Allah has made them separate, and at the same time saying that they're not separate. We're not preaching separation. We're not preaching segregation. We just want to be safe. Okay? So, you know, it's really to sit back and watch this play as it's being played out. It's very interesting. But, yeah, that group, the same sisters that were on our program, I thank them for at least not being afraid to come on the program. But they have they got a PR person, public relations person,
mm-hmm.
that has worded their thing to be safe and not threatening to the enemy. So, you know, good for them. But they still got to realize that when the stuff hit the fan, then they're going to run to the Nation of Islam for some FOI support. But as long as they are not in trouble, they're going to keep themselves a distance from the Nation of Islam. But when they are attacked, then they will call on Minister Farrakhan to come and protect them. You see? So, you know, it's very interesting. You know, so we applaud what they do, but we also know that they are allowed to do that because they're not threatening. But as soon as white folks get threatened, they'll push up on you, and then you come running to the Nation for help, even though you denied the Christ and his Messiah when you was doing your thing.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting
yes,
to see. That's going to be interesting to see how they go forward.
We're halfway through the show. We're going to take a moment for station identification. This is the Time to Leave blog talk radio show hosted by the Time to Leave Movement. And we have our panelists, Sister Majida, Dr. Ridgely, and myself, Brother Carlton. If you're enjoying this program and you'd like to participate, please press the 1 on your dial to get into the queue, and we will look forward to hearing what you have to say or answering your question. Now, you were saying, Sister Majida, before I interrupted you?
No, you didn't interrupt. I was just, you know, listening to Dr. Ridgely, you know, share that about, you know, the sisters and, you know, how they're using the media to, you know, keep themselves safe, I guess. But I was just saying it'll be interesting to see how all of that plays out. Because, yes, we don't Time to Leave Movement. We're about separation and building our own communities unapologetically. So we know that's the best and only solution.
Well,
so, you know, and like we say, you know, in the back of the final call paper, you know, we're expecting them, you know, for what, 20 years to, hey, they
25 years.
All our sweat and blood for all of these years, what? We're going to make some demands. We're going to make some demands because we're owed that. We're owed that.
Well,
you know,
demands,
but we're not coming to no back doors, trying to get nothing in the back. You know, no, it's time out. What? And we got this man standing up here talking to his militia or whatever and saying, what did he say? Stand back and stand by. I mean, it don't get no plainer than that. Tell him to stand by. There's more to come. Please.
Well, the thing is, we can demand all we want, but a demand without a weapon ain't no demand at all. So it's going to take them getting out of line for the planes to show up, the wheels.
Yeah, I was going to say that, Dr. Ridgely, yeah.
To get them back in line and to understand that we got backup. But we have to do something to initiate.
Right.
And see, nobody wants to be the ones out front to cause the trouble. You know, everybody wants to play it safe and don't want to get ahead of the minister. What do you mean you don't get ahead of the minister? Separation is what he told you to do.
But, right.
You know, they nobody want it's only going to take some pioneers.
Okay? Right.
The majority of the people are not pioneers. You know, once everything is all laid out and they got a sure job and everything laid out.
They're pioneers, Dr. Ridgely. It hasn't been ignited yet.
Well, you know, how them fires out there in California doing anyway?
That's what I'm talking about, and that's what I was saying. You know, and when you said the planes, you know, we can make a demand, and Allah's going to back it up. I mean, that stuff is burning. My daughter, you know, the sky was clear for about a week or so, and I'm like, it's burning in Napa again? That's for the last 3 years straight. That's just like 20 miles from them. She said, Mom, the weather is like turned again. It's all cloudy and smoky. I'm like, and they're talking about these million and some dollar, $100, million, whatever, dollar homes burning, and you see white folks crying over their vineyards, just gone. I'm like, Allah's curtailing all of that. You know, the demand is made. Minister Farrakhan made the demand for us, you know? So it's like, look, he said, give us 8 states. They should just be giving it. At this point, they should just be giving it. Where do you want to go? What do you want? How much do you need? How long? How long? You sure? Because, you know, we can go a little longer. That's how it should be right now. It's going to get to that.
Well, the point is, I take another position. I take the position that you go the way the Mormons went. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They left and they went to Utah.
Yes.
They didn't ask no damn body. So
yes.
What I'm saying is Allah is putting the fire on you, putting the killers on you. You're going to have to get up and leave. Now, what do you want him to do? To go and clear out giants for you? You want him to go and make a safe zone for you and say, look, come. Is that what you're waiting on? Or are you going to believe in Master Farah Muhammad and make a move? Or are you going to wait if everything is cleared for you and safe for you? No, it's not. It's not because what? Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us that once Allah shows His power, everybody go bow. Out of fear. He's looking now for the ones who are going to submit out of faith. Once He shows His power.
Wow. Say that again.
Everybody going to submit out of fear.
Wow.
I'll say it again. He's looking for the ones who are going to submit on faith.
Wow.
Not on fear.
Wow.
So
wow.
He's looking for the root. He's looking for the base. He's looking for the foundation on which He's going to build a whole new universe in time. So He's looking for those who are going to make a move based on the word. Not make a move based on the fire. Not to make a move based on, here it is. Here's your piece of land, brother. And next door, here's your sister. And here's the mom, brother and sister. The soap and the towels, you know what I mean?
Hotel with the turn-down service.
Yeah, right. You know what I mean? The baby planes will come and pick you up and bring you in your car and drop you off at your location. You know, that's what we're waiting on. Okay? But those of us who believe in Master Farah Muhammad, who believe in Allah who came the person of Master Farah Muhammad, who love him and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan, have faith enough in what they have said to strike out and to build Wakanda, to build a nation of Islam, for real. Okay? These are going to be the foremost, okay, while everybody else is laying in the cut. You know what I mean? Everybody heard the same thing that we've heard.
Yes,
I made
sir.
A move. You made a move. Brother Carlton made a move. Okay? But everybody heard the same thing.
Yes, sir.
Okay? So we just keep preaching, keep having programs and inviting people to participate. But I understand. Not everybody is a pioneer. Not everybody is the foremost. There are people that, you know, we still got a little bitty in our heart, a little softness, a little weakness, okay? And some of us who are not weak don't even know that we are strong. In other words, we just take it for granted that we follow on faith and we have no fear, but don't even think about not having no fear. Others talk about not having no fear, but evidently they got fear because they ain't here. But I just wanted to tell people to go to my Facebook page and look at that article. It's right up at the top about, you know, African Americans are leaving their homes to set up all black communities. Very scientifically written to not to get a movement started or to build on it, but it's already happening on a quiet tip, but it's okay. You know, it's okay. We know that it's the minister who are getting our young people to get into engineering.
Right. And those tours, that's right.
Okay, that's the minister on those tours.
When he
asked the question, how many of y'all in engineering? How many of y'all in agriculture?
Yes.
You know, and it was very few.
Yes.
You know, but he kept pushing it. So,
yes,
so
sir.
Now our people are getting into agriculture. They're getting into engineering. You got people going to the skilled trades. Okay?
Yes,
young people.
Sir.
So they are following the minister while the old folks is just paying lip service. But that's okay. You know, Master Farad Muhammad, he's a farmer. When he's trying to produce a special variety, he has generations of that variety.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That he's trying to perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, you know, Master Farad Muhammad knew that the first couple of generations were not it. Now, he couldn't tell us that we weren't fit. He couldn't, you know, he couldn't say that, you know.
Right, because we lay down and just be fine where we are.
We just quit. We lay down, you know.
Right.
Well, you know, Brother Ridgely, it's really your grandchildren that I'm going to need. You just keep alive for me. Well, what about me?
Right. That's when the minister said 50 years. You know, you already lost years. Some people right then.
Yeah, because, you know, everybody looking at me, I want to be in heaven. Mr. Farrakhan said, you in the hereafter now, if you take it.
Right.
If you take it, if you act like you are.
Right.
Okay? Because Allah is present.
Right.
But we are not acting like we are, waiting still on a mystery God. And yet, we like to say we're God, waiting on a mystery God to make something happen.
Mm-hmm.
What's gonna happen to you? You'll get hurt. Oh wait, maybe you fall down. Oh, or maybe you'll die. But guess what? You're gonna die anyway.
Right.
That's
you
right.
Learn a lot about yourself and God, the God within.
Yeah. That. You know, how you cultivate the God within? Just prayer, just reading, or do you have to test him, the God within?
Yes.
Do you have to call upon the God within to make something happen, to fix a problem, to lay out a plan and work the plan? How do you develop your God spirit, your God self? Just
by
praying,
doing.
Fasting, meditating. You got to have to do something and then ask for
Allah's
guidance as you're doing it. Instead of just sitting in a corner somewhere asking a lot of guys you to do what? You ain't do the last thing he told you to do. It came to you in the middle of the night what you should do, but the next morning you just said that was a dream and went right back to damn sleep. Okay? You know, I got to say this funny thing. Brother Carl.
Yes, sir.
You there? You know, I had the
yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I had to cuss that young brother out. Okay. You know how we're supposed to clean the wheat, right? That one trailer, you know, we clean
yes,
it
sir.
Once
yes,
and then
sir.
We mix it with the other. Okay. You know, I went over there and looked, and he had not cleaned the stuff that we had put off that first trailer. He had just done the second trailer. He hadn't done anything from that first. It's sitting there. I said, man, did you get some more? He said, no. I said, why did you do what I told you to do? So I cussed him out. And, you know, I really did. So I'm taking him home. You know what the Negro asked me?
Yes, I do.
Are
know.
You ready for this little call? Huh?
I know what he
Are
asked
you.
I know what he asked you. I already know. I know what he asked you.
What?
When was he
what?
Getting paid?
No. I told you you can never guess.
What?
How do you become a Muslim?
But, I mean, what sparked that? What do you think sparked that?
I have no idea. I just cussed a nigga out. I'm talking about real hard. And out of nowhere, he said, how do you become a Muslim? So I asked him. I said, have you read Best of the Black Man? No. I said, well, you can't be one of our type Muslims. Now, you can be one of them other type Muslims. But if you don't read Best of the Black Man and believe what we believe and understand it, you can't be one of our type Muslims. But I just can't believe you had how you become a Muslim. I just cuss you out, nigga.
Maybe just the way you commanded yourself in doing that.
I didn't get that. Y'all talk. Two people's talking. I didn't get it.
I said maybe the way you commanded yourself when you were doing that. Maybe it was something that made him want to be that kind of man.
I don't know. I all I know is that, you know, I put on my Facebook page that I ran into a group of young men now who his age when they worked at the farm slinging watermelons, and I cuss all of them out because they do stupid stuff, and you know, I'm thankful to be alive. You know what I'm talking about? Because I mean, you know, I cuss about real bad, but you know, I told them, I said, well, one thing it is. You all know that I don't ask you to do nothing that I don't do, because I'm right there with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I don't ask you to do nothing that I don't do. So they have to have respect, because I'm not trying to get them to do something that I don't do. I just do
right.
it better. I tell them I do it better than you all. Y'all sorry as hell. I do it better than you all. I sling them the melons better. I can pick them better. Y'all just sorry as hell. You're damn weak. You ain't got no training. You ain't paying attention. You listen, and I really got him on this because I heard him listening to some rap music, right? So when he was in the car, I said, "You want to be a Muslim, man? You don't even read nothing. You listen to that old stupid stuff." I said, "Okay, here's a song for you. Excuse my French, y'all, but this is a song. You know this Rihanna." Bitch,
yeah,
better have my
I don't
money.
Know.
Bitch, better have my money. Bitch, better have my money. That's all it is.
Wow.
The whole song.
Wow.
Bitch, better have my money. Bitch, better have my money. I said, now,
wow.
she is a millionaire off that dumb stuff because y'all stupid enough to sop it up like a pig and you want me a Muslim? You don't want to read nothing? You can't be one of our type Muslims. So they really have dumbed us down.
Not unless you come under the training.
You know what I mean? Dumbed us down and messed up our damn brain.
Mm-hmm. And that's why.
But he's worked for you before, right, Doc?
Huh?
He's worked for you before. Is that correct?
Yes. He's worked
okay,
at least his second or third year.
Okay, okay. Well, he keeps coming back. That's a good sign.
I don't understand it. I wouldn't come back after the day. But he didn't ask for his money. He said, I'll be there at 7:30 at over there in Broadwood at the store. I'll pick him up.
Praise be to Allah. Mm-hmm.
You know, they just ain't had no training.
Mm-hmm. And he probably saw that. And he
troops.
Saw that and fired something more, even though, you know, you lit him up.
Well, I lit his ass up. But I don't even, he has to have seen something beyond my words, because my words
mm-hmm.
are true.
Right.
Well, I don't know how much it affected him, but, you know, I picked him up this morning, and I had a conversation with him. And
okay.
So I had a conversation. I asked him, you know, I had met him before. I was in the field with my final calls. It was a while ago, earlier this year. And I met him, and we had a good talk. And I remembered him from then. And then I asked him, I said, brother, you know, what are you doing with yourself? And then he said he wanted to, you know, he's working on his GED, and he wants to be a welder. And so I've talked with him about how that's a good trade. I said, you know, you can do something for yourself. He said he's thinking about going to the trade school in America's. And I said, you know, you might want to consider, you know, while you're doing that, you know, study something else. That's, you know, maybe some decent mechanic and, you know, get as many skills as you can while you're young. He said, I was thinking about that. That's a good idea. And so, you know, we went back and forth for a while. And, you know, I didn't think much about it. That's the way I talk to youth. And so I told him I was the brother to bring the bean pies. And because I thought he was Brother Nick's son, but he's not Nick's son. He's his nephew. And so I've been taking pies to Brother Nick, and the brother said he hadn't had any pies. And I was like, uh-oh. Maybe I got the wrong brother. That's when I found out it wasn't his son. But anyway, so I don't know. Maybe I'm between, you know, my conversation and your training, you know, and whatever alternatives he has to his life and his home environment, maybe he thinks it's worth checking out being a Muslim.
Well, I gave him a hard way. I gave him the hard route to be the Muslim, not the easy route. You know, so I told him, if you ain't going to read, so I asked him, I said, have you ever read a book all the way through? Name one. You couldn't think of one. I said, man, you ain't never read a book all the way through. So, you know, hopefully, you know, I'm running for county commissioner. One of the things we want to bring in, you know, I talked to Brother Tony about, we want to bring in a skills trade.
Wow.
Okay. So they can pick up some training, some trades. I mean, the only thing
mm-hmm.
they know how to make money is rappers rapping. And every damn body
mm-hmm.
ain't be no down. But they use their hands, you know, they're not being trained anything. And there are no jobs around here in Terrell County. It's really, 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 really pitiful here in this county in terms of opportunities from young black men in particular. You know, this has been
mm-hmm.
a masterful plan. There are no more black farmers. So that means all those children who were children of these black farmers, what are they doing? The damn show ain't farming.
Mm.
So what are they doing? So they've all gone elsewhere. That's why the population in Terrell County is steadily dropping. Because people are leaving. Because there's no growth. And this is all because of Gamble and the big white plantation owners who don't give a damn about nobody being on out here as long as they got the land. They don't give a damn about nobody as long as they get all the land, a monopoly on land. If they're fighting each other on how much territory they can get. So Gamble got 5,000 acres. When he got here 60 years or so ago, he only had 500 acres.
Mm.
Right? When he first started farming. Now he got 5,000.
Wow.
Okay? So with them running people off the land because of the roads, government money they're getting – The government is giving them money to buy the black farmers out, and that's what they've done. And they don't give a damn about nobody but being having the most acreage than the other one. So they're in competition with each other over how many acres they can own. So who's going to be the biggest plantation owner in Terrell County? All right? So, yeah, Dr. Reed's about to bust all this crap up. All right? I might not win, but I'm going to show talk a whole lot of smack because we're doing a whole lot more research to show the game that they're playing on these people here. But, yeah, the young black men in particular are at the very bottom of this pit, and the only thing they leave for them to do is to sell drugs so they can put them in chains and in the orange suits so they'd be a slave forever. In and out of jail. Okay? So, yeah, this is terrible, Terrell County. This is straight-up hell. But, you know, T. Gamble pissed me off, so we got a fight going there. But, yeah, he want to learn. He want to know how you be a Muslim. So, brother, call
him. Praise be to Allah.
You talk to him. You talk to him. We play good cop, bad cop. I mean, not going to play. It's just not enough. You be the good cop, and I'm going to continue to be the bad cop.
Right? Crazy.
Oh, in between us, we might be able to get him to be a
convert. That's right.
Well, the thing is this. What's happening is a lot of young black men in particular who are looking and watching us and want to be like us, but they got problems. Most of the problems they have is with the women in their life. You know what I mean, Brother Carlton?
Yeah, they
you
messed
know?
Up and one or two times.
The women in their life. These
ain't
women
trying to be no Muslim.
They ain't trying to be no Muslim, and they ain't going to let their man be no Muslim. Like, give them straight up hell. So, you know, the enemy went after the queen. That's what you do on the chessboard. That's what I do. I go after the queen. So the enemy is going after the queen. And he got her tied up and him tied up through her. You know? So it's almost like impossible for us to get out of this. And yet we will. And that's going to show and prove that Allah came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. Because when we get out of this, we're going to write it. Write what happened, and people not gonna believe it, but they gotta believe it because what it happened, and we keep a record of it. But we're in what looks like an impossible situation, and right here in Terrell County, we in the belly of the beast. We at the root of the Confederacy, right? This is
right.
This is called the Egypt of the Confederacy. That's what W. Du Bois called this area, Darity and Terrell County. The Egypt of the Confederacy. This is where the cotton and the corn was raised to feed and clothe the enemy. I mean, the Confederacy. And I hear my girl Gaina saying, "We will survive."
Yes, sir.
So I know it's time to go.
That's right.
Well, thank y'all for listening to my rant.
Praise be to Allah.
Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you too, Dr. Ridgely.
All right.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, panelists, and assalamu alaikum, my our guests.